accommodation to the service tonight, and we appreciate you girls doing that very, very much. What's Janet's last name?
Jenny.
Oh, they said Janet. Jenny. All right, Jenny, it's good to have you with us this evening. We do have a lot gone tonight over at Antwerp, but we're thankful that we do go over and visit other congregations. But I switch sermons. You're not going to get my good one. I'm going to give you one that I pulled out of my hat. Job 31. Job 31. We'll speak tonight on integrity. Integrity, a needed virtue. Integrity is described as honesty, sincerity, uprightness, wholeness, or purity of mind. And it is a needed virtue. And don't you appreciate those virtues in a person? That if they are honest, sincere, upright, whole, pure. I mean, those are needed virtues. And they all seem to be summed up in that word, integrity. And Job was not a Christian, but Job had integrity. In Job 31, we read this: I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a maid? For what portion of God is there from above, and what inheritance the Almighty from on high? Is not destruction to the wicked, and the strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Does not he see my works and count all my steps? If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot have hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know my integrity. If my step hath turned out of the way, and my heart walked after my eyes, and if any blot hath cleaved to my hand, then let me sow, and let another eat. Yea, let my offspring be rooted out. If my heart has been deceived by a woman, or if I have laid wait at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind unto another, and let others bow down upon her. For this is a heinous sin. Yea, it is iniquity to be punished by the judges. For it is a fire that consumeth to destruction and would root out all my increase. If I did despise the cause of my manservant or my maidservant when they contended with me, what then shall I do when God rises up? And when he visiteth, what shall I answer him? Did not he make me, that is my servant and I, in the womb make him? Did not one fashion us in the womb? If I withheld the poor from their desire and caused the eye of the widow to fail, or have eaten my morsel by myself alone, and the fatherless have not eaten thereof. For from my youth he was brought up with me, and with a father, and I guided her from my mother's womb. If I've seen any perish for want of clothing, or any poor without covering, if his loins has not blessed me, and if he were not worn with the fleece of my sheep, if I've lifted up my hand against the fatherless when I saw my help in the gate, then let my arm fall from the shoulder blade, my arm be broken from the bone. For destruction from God was a terror to me, and by reason of his highness I could not endure. If I made my gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, you are my confidence. If I rejoiced because my wealth was great, and because my hand had gotten much. If I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness, and my heart has been secretly enticed to my mouth and have kissed my hand. This also would have been iniquity to be punished for the judge, for I would have denied the God that's above. If I rejoiced at the destruction of him that hated me, or lifted up myself when evil found him, neither have I suffered my mouth to sin by wishing a curse to his soul. If the men of my tabernacle said, oh, that we had had of his flesh, we cannot be satisfied. The stranger did not lodge in the street. I opened up the doors to the traveler. If I covered my transgressions as Adam by hiding my iniquity in my bosom, did I fear a great multitude, or did the contempt of families terrify me that I kept silent and went not out of the door? Oh, that one would hear me. Behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me, and that my adversary had written a book. Surely I would take it upon my shoulder and bind it as a crown to me. I would declare unto him the number of my steps. As a prince would I go near unto him. And if my land cry against me, or the pearls likewise thereof complain, and if I have eaten the fruits thereof without money, or have caused the owners thereof to lose their life, let thistles grow instead of wheat, and cockaburs instead of barley. And those are the ends of the words of Job. Now Job is insisting here in this passage of Scripture, I am a man of integrity. He insists on the negative side, first of all. He insists that he made a covenant with his eye that he shouldn't look upon a maid. He says, I'm not lustful. I'm not a dirty old man. I am not lustful. I have integrity. I've made a covenant with my eyes. I'm not going to look upon a maid, that is, to lust after her. And so negatively, he says, I got integrity. I do not lust. Secondly, he says in verse 5 that I'm not deceitful. I haven't practiced deceit. If I walk with vanity, or if my foot have hasted to deceit, I haven't deceived anybody. I'm not a deceitful man. Or look in verse 7, he says he's not covetous. If my step hath turned out of the way, and my heart hath walked after mine eyes, and if any blot hath cleaved to my hand. He's saying here, I haven't coveted, I haven't walked after my eyes. I haven't done and taken just anything that I want. In verse 9, he says he's not immoral. I haven't laid wait at my neighbor's door. Wait till he leaves and then go to the house when the husband's not there. I have not been immoral. He says that he's not mistreated servants in verse 13. He hasn't despised the cause of the manservant or the maidservant. He realized that God made him and he made me and we're brethren. I have not mishandled my employees or mistreated my employees. And he also says, in verse 39, he wasn't a watermelon stealer. He says, if I've eaten the fruits thereof without money or caused the owners thereof to lose their life, I have not been one to take fruit that is not mine. And he also says in verse 39 that he was not a blood shedder. He talks then, saying very plainly that he is a man who has refrained from lust, from coveting, for immorality, from mistreating people, from stealing from people, and from shedding innocent blood. He says, I have integrity. But on the positive side, he says in verse 16, he also was generous to the poor. See, integrity is not just what you don't do. But integrity involves what you do. And he says, I haven't done this, 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 and this. But on the other hand, he says, I have not refused to give to the poor. And in verse 17, he says, he's not turned away the fatherless. He says, I've let the fatherless eat of my crops. And verses 19, 20, he says, he never saw anyone naked without covering, that his fleece of his sheep warmed his neighbors. Never saw a man naked that didn't clothe him. Verse 21, he says that he never bothered the fatherless. He never hurt an orphan and turned them away from his gate when they sought help. And then in verse 32, he plainly says that the stranger didn't lodge in the street, but I opened my door to the traveler. See what he's saying? On the one side, he's saying, I haven't been deceitful, I haven't been covetous, I haven't been immoral, I haven't shed innocent blood, I haven't stolen, I haven't mistreated people. But on the other hand, I've not only not been not doing bad, I've been doing good. I've been feeding the poor, feeding the naked, clothing people that are in need of things. Orphans, strangers weren't turned away from my door. Now that's integrity. But not only that, he even says religiously he's done right. He says in verses 24 and 25, he didn't trust in gold. He says, if I make gold my hope, or if said to find gold, you are my confidence, or if I rejoice because my wealth was great and because my hand got much. I put my emphasis on the right world. I have not put my emphasis on getting gold. I have not put my trust in gold and riches. In verses 26 and 27, he says, I haven't committed idolatry. I haven't looked at the sun and the moon and kissed my hand. That was a practice that they would do. They'd kiss their hand and salute the sun or the moon. He says, that's a punishment to be punished by the judge. He says, if I did that, I'd deny the Lord above. I have not trusted in gold. I have not committed idolatry. In verse 33, he says, he hasn't covered his sins like Adam and hid his iniquity in his bosom. He also says in verses 29 and 30 that he has not rejoiced at other people's calamities. He didn't wish bad luck on anybody and didn't wish in his heart to curse another man's soul. He didn't rejoice when other people had problems. And that's an important thought. Now, what am I saying? Job is saying he is a man of integrity. He says that very plainly. Let me be weighed in an even balance that God may know my integrity. I didn't do this, 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 and this. I did do this, 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 and this. And religiously, I didn't trust in gold. I didn't commit idolatry. I didn't cover my sins. I had right attitudes toward my neighbors and didn't rejoice when they had problems. And he says, if that's not true, then let my right arm fall out of its armpit. Would you have an arm? I said, would you have an arm? Can you say, I have not been deceived? I have not coveted. I have not lusted after another man's wife. I have not mistreated my employees. I don't steal. I've never shed innocent blood. I've not lusted. Can you say you always fed the poor, clothed the naked, gave water to the thirsty, helped the orphan, helped the stranger? Can you say that? And can you say that you've never put your emphasis on this world's gold and riches and committed idolatry or tried to cover your sins or rejoiced when your enemies had problems? If you were weighed in the balances the way he says here, that God's going to put him in an even balance and test his integrity, would you have your armpit empty, or would there still be an arm in it? Now, he very boldly says that. He plainly tells here in this passage of Scripture that he says, if this is not true, then let my arm fall from my shoulder blade and my arm be broken from the bone. I wonder if you'd have an arm tonight. And he says, if this isn't true, he says, instead of fruit, let there be thistles, instead of wheat, and cockleburrs instead of barley. What would be in your field? Would there be thistles and cockleburrs or wheat and barley? That's the test of a man's integrity. It all boils down that you are to control your desires and your deeds and your thoughts toward yourself, another man's wife, toward the poor, toward the hungry, toward the stranger, toward your enemies. You see, what you do with your thoughts and your deeds and your desires and your relationship with God determines whether or not you are a man of integrity. Quickly, I want to tell you that the advantages of integrity is twofold. First of all, integrity has its own rewards. Look in Job 27 with me and verse 25. Well, you're not going to do that because there's no such thing. The word I want, the scripture I want, is also found in Proverbs 10:19. Another scripture along the same line will give us the same thought. And that's this, is that if we do have integrity, we will also be able to walk uprightly before God. Verse 9, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. Now, one of the advantages of integrity is that you can walk surely. That means confidently. You can have confidence before men if you have integrity. I mean, people might even accuse you of being arrogant, but you can have a confidence in front of men that you don't need to worry someone's going to come up and be able to lay something at your feet and accuse you because you have walked with integrity in your heart. But that's good to have confidence before men. But here's the second blessing. You can have confidence before God. Look at Psalms chapter 7 and verses 3 through 5. O Lord my God, if I've done this, if there be iniquity in my hand, if I've rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I've delivered him that without cause of my enemy, let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay my honor in the dust. Now he's confident that he can say before God, I haven't done this. There isn't any iniquity in my hand. I haven't rewarded men good or evil for good. I haven't even done damage to my enemy. If that's not true, he says, let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Could you pray that before God? Not unless you have integrity. You can't pray confidently before God unless you have that kind of integrity. Look at verse 8. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, according to my integrity that is in me. And look at verse 10. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in his heart. And look at verse 11. God judges the righteous, but God is angry with the wicked every day. Now, a guy can pray confidently before God if he has integrity. He can say, to judge me, God, and search my heart and see if there be any evil way in me. Can you pray that prayer? Now, that's the desire of God toward us, is that we can pray those kind of prayers. And, of course, we're not walking with integrity. We can't do that. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones. One of the rewards of integrity is having a sound heart. You have confidence before men, you have confidence before God, and you have a sound heart, and that is health to the flesh. It's important to realize that God promises health to the man who has integrity. Proverbs 22, verse 11, he that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips the king shall be his friend. There again is honor because of integrity, a man that has a pure heart. So I'm saying to you, the advantages of integrity is twofold. It, first of all, has its own reward. You have confidence before men, you have confidence before God. Man, that's worth something. And the other advantage is this integrity before God, because as we read in Psalms 24 and verse 3 and 4, we have this statement made to us: who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hearts, clean hands rather, and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Now that says that there are physical blessings to the man who can stand before God. Who can come into the presence of God? Man with a clean heart, or clean hands, and a pure heart, who's not lifted up his soul unto vanity and sworn deceitfully. That's the person who knows that he can come into the presence of God. Now that's worth something. Now that doesn't mean that we never sin. But that ought to be the goal, is to be able to say when problems come upon us like they did in Job, I don't know why this is happening. Now, if all of a sudden something happened to you tonight and you ended up in the hospital and you were laying there in the hospital bed and you would say to yourself, why did this happen to me? What would come to your mind? What would come to your mind? What's going on in your life? What's going on in your life? You say, this is happening because... if you live a life of integrity, you're going to have to be like Job and scratch your head and say, I don't know why this is happening. I try to do right. I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't do this. I don't do that. I do do this. I do that. I do this. I do that. I have the right attitude about gold and silver. I have the right attitude about God, I don't try to hide my sins. I don't rejoice at other people's calamities. I mean, if you're a man of integrity, you ought to try to say, I don't know why this is happening. But if you're not a man of integrity, chances are something immediately is going to pop into your mind and say, this has happened because, and there perhaps is a secret sin in your life that is removing the rewards of integrity, which is confidence before God or confidence before men, and these physical blessings of knowing that you can pray to God because you have a clean hands and you have a pure heart and you've not lifted up your soul to vanity nor sworn deceitfully. And then thirdly and lastly, integrity is a thing of the heart which God judges and man may misjudge. Now God is the one who judges us. He sees our heart. You remember when Samuel went to anoint a man to be king, and he went over to get one of Jesse's sons to be king, and he looked at David, and he looked at his brothers. One by one, he looked at those big strapping brothers of David come in, and old Samuel said, man, that must be the one. And the Lord said, no. Now, that's got to be him. And the Lord said, no. And then Eliab came in and said, no. And finally, that little ruddy, red-headed David came in, just a puny boy, and he was chosen. And God told Sam, you look upon the outward, but God looks upon the heart. Something in David that his brothers lacked. It isn't stature. It isn't muscle. It's not height. It's not beauty. God looks upon the heart. And you can be as ugly as I am, as short as I am, as fat as I am, and as mean as I look, and still have integrity, because it doesn't have anything to do with any of those things. Integrity is of the heart, and God looks upon the heart. There's Simon the Pharisee looking at the harlot washing Jesus' feet with the hairs of her head. And that story tells me that it's not what you are, but what you can become. Simon said, I know that. If he was a prophet, he wouldn't allow her to touch him. But it's not what you've been. It's what you are or what you can become. That's integrity. And that woman's integrity was much greater than the man's. And he was saying to this man, hey, when I came in, you didn't kiss my cheek. She's kissed my feet. You didn't anoint my head. She's anointed my feet. I mean, she's linen compared to sackcloth when it comes to the everyday courtesies of life, because God judges the heart. It's not what you've been, but what you are and want to become that is integrity. And then when I look at the Pharisee and the publican standing and praying, I learn that one man came to praise. I thank thee, God, that I am not as other men are, liars, extortioners, adulterers, or even like this publican. I fast twice a day. I give tithes of all that I possess. The other man stood afar off and would not so much as lift up his face toward heaven, but said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than his brother. So it's not what you can stand and say you do or don't do. It's the integrity of your heart. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That one man used himself. He used the word I in the nominative case 5 times. He's the subject of the sentence. But the publican was the object of the sentence. Not the subject. The Lord, be merciful to me. He didn't say, I. He said, be merciful to me, a sinner. And his integrity was greater than the man that could stand there and brag about himself. I look at the widow and all the other people gave, but she cast in all that she had. God looks upon the heart, and he says to me, when I look at the widow, it's not what you give, it's what you have left. That's what counts. Not what you give, what you have left. She hath cast in all that she had. That's what's important. Not what you give. What do you have left? That's integrity. I look at the rich young ruler and I look at Zacchaeus. Both of them were very rich. The rich young man got his money honestly and was honest. And on the other hand, Zacchaeus got his money dishonestly and was dishonest. But in the end, the rich young ruler that got his money honestly went away sorrowful because he had much riches and would not give to the poor. But Zacchaeus did the opposite. Zacchaeus gave half of what he owed and paid back what he had stolen fourfold. And so it's not a question of how did you get your money. It's not that. It's not what do you possess, but what possesses you. That's what God looks at. What possesses you? The rich young ruler got his honestly, but his money possessed him. Zacchaeus got his money dishonestly, but it didn't possess him. He went away sorrowful, whereas Zacchaeus, this day is joy come to your house. It's what possesses you. That's integrity. I look at Mary and Martha, and I contrast those two. Both of them were doing something. Mary's listening. Martha's busy here and there and so afraid and saying, make her come and help me with the dishes or with the cooking. Instead of sitting there listening to you. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are encumbered about many things. Mary has chosen the better part. Don't try to take it away from her. It's not are you busy, but what are you busy at? That determines your integrity. Not if you're busy, but what are you busy at? Then I think of Barnabas and Ananias and Sapphira. Barnabas took, having land, sold it and laid it at the apostles' feet. Ananias and Sapphira had land, sold it, and laid it at the apostles' feet, but kept part of it back. Both gave. It's not what you give, but what's the motive behind the gift. Barnabas gave and laid all the money at the apostles' feet, but Ananias and Sapphira did it to receive the praise of men. And they said, did you sell the property for so much? And they said, yeah, for so much. But they lied. They wanted the glory of the giving, but they wanted to keep back part of it. Peter said, while it was yours, it was yours. You could have done with it what you want. You didn't have to give it all. You've not lied to men, but unto God. It's not whether you give. They both gave. But what is the motive behind the gift? Now, what have I said? I've said in this third point that it's not appearances, not outward appearance, but your heart. David, not Elam. It's not what you are, but what you can become, such as Simon the Pharisee and the harlot. It's not whether you praise yourself, such as this Pharisee and the publican, but how your attitude is of wanting to be blessed of God. Not what you give, but what you have left. Not what you possess, but what possesses you. Not if you're busy, but what are you busy at. Not what you give, but what's the motive of your gift. All of that is involved in integrity. A man of integrity is whole, honest, sincere before God. And like Job, in the day of judgment, we're going to be questioned. And it's very important that we see integrity is what you have before God, this God who reads the heart. And so having integrity is the safest course, the happier course, the wiser course, and the only course that's going to bring a joyous eternity. Integrity, a needed virtue, honesty, sincerity, uprightness, wholeness, purity of mind, not before men, but before God. It's the man of integrity with clean hands and a clean heart that it can approach God. Well, you say, I haven't. I haven't got a clean hand, and I don't have a clean heart, then you need to do what that publican said. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he'll cleanse the heart. He can make you a person of integrity. And then you can live a life that is pure before God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that we would be people of integrity, that we'd be sincere and honest, open, not deceitful, not practicing lust and not practicing deceit, not being a people, Heavenly Father, that rejoice at the calamities of our enemies. Father, that our hearts would be pure and whole before you, so that you could create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us, so that you'd be pleased with us and that we can approach you, so that when we lay down in our bed at night and lay our head upon a pillow, we can hear you say, good job today. Do it again tomorrow. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. If you're not a Christian tonight, we're going to give you an opportunity to obey the gospel. That number was number 259. If you're not a Christian tonight, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you're willing to confess him before men, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, let's sing just the first stanza, 259.